of the respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gashami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Durga, the noble truth of suffering. Durga, Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Durga, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Durga, Nirodha, Garini, Padipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without itself. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi, tatyampi, svaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, and the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to learn suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end the suffering.
Well, that's a month ago, but I just wanted to remind people or let people know that Sunday groups are recorded for complete owners.
But they're a very nice group of people, so I'd love to hear what goes on with people when we're not speaking. Mm. That seems like just a marvelous point of discussion in awareness practice.
Yeah. And such a great place to look. Mm-hmm.
Yes, where am I looking? Mm-hmm. What am I hearing? Mm-hmm. What am I believing? Uh-huh. How is it controlling me?
Yes.
What do I believe about being able to speak? Do I have to have something lined up? Should I have it well rehearsed? Mm-hmm. Might it not be good enough? Do I want to wait and see what somebody else has to say? Because maybe it'll be better and I can rip off that. So what happens with this?
So to really look at that process that goes on when I don't put up my hands.
Yes.
To see what am I believing? What am I hearing? All of those things that could be going on that often hide in plain sight. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our conversation last night, that could be a clue about the koan that one will be looking at during the rest of this retreat. And for everybody who's not staying with us for the rest of the retreat, just maybe notice that this happens at other places in life.
Yeah, because
I mean, that is a koan.
Exactly. But as you were talking about last night, you know, this entire, the gift of this practice, I think, is the process of how, and it's certainly the focus of this year. And so, whatever is going on for me as I'm putting up my hands or not putting up my hands is going to be the same process that goes on everywhere in my life. Thank you. Renee?
Yeah, that all's going on.
all of it, all of that.
And what was dropping in actually was just how much I'm enjoying the weather, and I don't have anything prepared to talk about.
So nothing prepared to talk about. What's dropping in is I'm enjoying the weather. Mm-hmm. And then I would guess, since the hands didn't go up at first, that there was a festering of that in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, well, I think that it was like, well, that's not really that important.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, which is really quite fascinating to me. Wow, I'm really enjoying the weather. Well, that's not enough to talk about. Mm-hmm. Again, huge application in our life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then just about the weather and the birds and the flowers and the breeze. I took about a 45-minute walk yesterday, just alone, and it was just—it's like it was the highlight of my day. You know, it was just so beautiful and waving at people, smiling at people, and a lot of it was their initiation, not mine necessarily. But and then they started doing that, so then I started doing it. And, yeah, it was just a beautiful time. And this morning walking up here, it was the same. It was just felt like a treat. And with the recent fires going on in California, it just was not taking it for granted. You know, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And just appreciating it all.
Yeah. So really noticing the birds and the weather and the beauty of the season and the highlight of your day yesterday being taking a 45-minute walk off by yourself. And then as you were talking about all those different elements, you know, people engaged, smiling, waving, that sort of thing, I just have this image of, you know, life's greeting us in all of these myriad ways, right? And that you were really there for it. And especially thinking back to the fires, that was really having you not take it for granted. And I would project really being present for it.
Yeah. So happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Thank you. Judy.
The poem that I'm working with is How Is Life Guiding Me Now in This Moment?
Uh-huh.
And I had an experience this morning. I was in charge of the dishwater for the dining room. And I got up and I saw that the dishwater needed suds. And I've got some new suds now. I went to the kitchen. And then 5 minutes later, Scott comes in and reminds me that I need suds for the water.
Uh-huh.
And I think, how did that happen? You know,
I knew that. I went in to do it. And then
I got, you know, it wasn't like I was, so that's a hint, that's a clue for me of how I don't listen to life, or how I hear what life suggests, and then I go off and fairyland or something.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were completely there. Life checked the water, did it, need suds, great, headed to get the suds, and so it's not that you weren't paying attention to what life was, you were hearing life's guidance, and you were following life's guidance, and then there's that mystery in there of, what is it that pulls me off away from that? So we can guess that, I think we were talking about last night, that life is guiding us moment by moment by moment by moment. So it's what we talk about in practice, it's often a not doing. It's just that we're not always there for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is a big clue, isn't it? That there's something that happened in that gap that pulled me away from hearing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was invited to do another task, and instead of saying I'm in the middle of what, you know, just that.
Yeah.
And I was also invited to look at how life might be communicating with me or guiding me in addition to thoughts and language. And it dropped in that maybe, there's energy, there's an energy source that I often sense, and there's sensations and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of opened up the looking of what's happening.
Yeah, to give you other places to look. So that koan of, well, maybe it's not always in language.
Mm-hmm.
And so thoughts. So beginning to look at emotions, beginning to look at sensations, beginning to look at energy.
Mm-hmm.
So already with that, just looking, that process of being in the koan, there are a number of things that have opened up, and now you have these three new places to look.
Mm-hmm. To help with the mystery of why the suds didn't get changed.
Yeah, and just one last thing about it, Judy, that I love, is that I'm projecting not a lot of self-hate, or if there was, not believing it, which is what gives us the space to see.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big shift from when I've been here before and I've done something that I was reminded to do it differently, or that I would just crumble.
Yeah.
Just crumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay. I can learn from this. So
yeah. And that's another part of it, isn't it? That life is guiding us all the time in all of these ways. We could say that the person who was helping you remember that the subordinate was life guiding you. Mm-hmm. And then that's another big clue. What takes us away from hearing life's guidance? Self-hate.
Uh-huh.
But when the self-hate isn't there, you are just available for the guidance.
Well, that's a great question. You know, what keeps you from putting your hands up? And it's the same thing as getting in the queue, you know,
on
a radio show. Or, yeah. Yeah. And so.
Have a book there down there?
Looking at a couple of things. First of all, I have discovered that actually putting hands up or getting in the queue or something without knowing what to say. It's actually one of the most exciting things.
Uh-huh.
You know,
it's alive.
It's always really interesting to see what expresses.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
To just be there and not have any idea.
Uh-huh.
What's gonna you know.
Yeah.
What life is gonna say. What.
Yeah. So putting yourself in the queue or putting your hands up in groups. And not having anything planned, but just that movement of participation, uh-huh. You're realizing it's really exciting. And to just watch what unfolds,
yes.
What gets expressed.
Yes, I've had that experience over and over again. Uh-huh. And then there's the other one, you know, a conditioned mind going, you should put your hands up, you should put your hands up, you should put your hands up. You know, you should talk, you should talk, you should talk. And then... that's a disaster. You know? I don't know if it's a disaster, but you know, it's just so different what is expressed from one place.
Yeah.
You know, from that being pushed by that voice to talk.
Yes.
And then, you know, it seems like often what it talks.
Well, yeah, and what's fun about that I was just seeing, that, like we were talking about with Judy, if there's no self-hate, mm-hmm. then it's all really helpful, right? I mean, it would be such a funny game to start to bring all of that up to the level of conscious awareness. So, you should put your hands up, go ahead, put your hands up. I'm eager to hear what you have to say, because then you'll be revealed, and I'll get to see what you're up to.
Yes.
And so, if that does happen, hands go up, conditioning talks, great, that's just as helpful. If I'm here for it and not taking it personally and not believing it means anything.
Right. There's the thing. If I'm here for it, if I'm here for it, that is all very illuminating and it's great fun.
Yeah.
And it's, I think this was pointing to another radio show. When you say it out loud and you see what's going on, I don't put my hands up because, I don't put my hands up because I don't have anything to say. I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to da 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 da. Well, that's coming from a place of I'm sitting in a room full of people that are going to criticize and judge me,
right.
Which is only ego, which is just so bizarre,
right.
You know, to just get talked out from that that place. And to, you know, to have that shift of, I'm sitting in a room of people. I'm sitting with my heart.
Yes.
And there's nothing I can do or say or, you know, that's just going to not be.
Yeah. So, because often we're, I would project, in a place where we don't question that.
Uh-huh.
So that's why someone putting up their hands at the beginning of the group and inviting us to look at that is such a helpful mirror.
Yeah.
That doesn't always get put up,
because
usually all of that's just going on,
mm-hmm.
and it's being believed. But as soon as you question it at all, it's like, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not true.
Yeah.
This is not a group of people who are going to judge me. This is not. And then we go to our experience of, are we ever doing that in group when we're listening to someone else talk, regardless of what's going on with them, regardless of where they are? No, never.
And as you reflect that, I mean, it's just such a. Just such an important practice to practice that over and over and over again.
What a good point.
You know, I'm just seeing that more deeply right now, because the other practice we know
Yeah. Right.
We practice and practice and practice.
That's right. That's the thing. We're always practicing something.
Right.
And when we're believed, when we're just sitting quietly and not putting our hands up, we're practicing something.
Mm-hmm.
We're practicing being in that conversation, believing that conversation.
Yeah.
And so what a good point, how important it is to keep practicing that movement. You know, I know for me at least, sometimes it can be, all right, all the courage, you know, okay, here we go, do it. And then, okay, that's good for 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get it.
But the thing is to keep doing it, to keep doing it. And sometimes, ooh, it feels great and expansive, and sometimes it, quote, doesn't meet the standard, and I feel this way. And sometimes but if we just keep doing it, then we really are practicing the movement that we want to make.
Yes, and again, as you said that, for me, at least, the condition system has me on the short leash,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so it's like, okay, so you get to talk one time, okay, you did that, all right, good, and now
the calendar out.
Now we'll just be quiet for a while until, you know, it's your time to talk again, so I let you talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of.
Yeah.
And so to just like say, heck no, you know, I'm going to just keep going for it and going for it and going for it and going for it until I break on through that, you know,
that leash.
That leash.
Yeah.
You know, to move beyond. So anyway, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that's what folks are pointing at with that called the cue practice, right? So I may not get called on every time. I may not get taken from the cue every time, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is to keep making that movement,
mm-hmm.
to both highlight the control that goes usually unseen,
mm-hmm.
and to not believe it,
mm-hmm.
to not be, because that's the only thing that keeps us. That's the only way it can control us, is to keep us in the conversation and to keep us believing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we don't, it has nothing else. It can't control us.
Boy.
You know?
Yeah. And the best way to move out of that is to put my band up and just keep going for it and going for it and going for it.
Yeah.
And how fun. I had no idea I was going to talk about that this
morning. Exactly. Just put the hands up and.
Yeah.
It's like a flower arrangement, right?
It's
just there it is.
It's just there it is. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know your name.
Pam.
Yes. Thank you, Pam.
You saw that before I even did it, because ditto to all that. Voice coming up going, oh, I want to talk. I want to say how grateful I am to be back here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, don't be the first one to talk. And it's so good to hear to hear the sound of Sherry's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, how did I get so far afield? How did I... Who was that that wasn't present and walked away so far afield for so long? I think it's been about 15 years since I've been here, and I can't even believe it as I sit here. So it's just good to be coming home to this place and to that place inside by itself that says, what path are you on? Where are you going? And do you want to go there? And, and what can I learn from this? And you're okay, just the way you are.
Boy, it's extraordinary, isn't it, to see that it's such an illustration that that place never leaves. We might leave. But, I mean, you come here, you sit here this morning, and boom, there it is.
Yeah.
It's right there. And you're right here. How do you project?
Yeah, it feels good to come home.
Yeah. Feels good to come home to that place, you know, in the heart. That place where it's all right.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's the central teaching, isn't it, of the practice, which is that we only have this moment. So anything that happened before doesn't matter, except in that place that you were talking about, which you see things, you know, it's what everyone's talking about this morning. Without the self-hate, without the recrimination, without the judgment, you get to just see, huh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
But then you're right back here.
Yeah. To come home to the looking. and to the be able to to stand aside and say, oh, what's going on, without that judgment.
That any insights there might be for that, for me, are going to come from that place of just that unconditional acceptance, that conscious compassion and awareness, just watching. Come on.
I don't want to share. For all the reasons that have been talked about, fear of being judged. It's also perfect that I'm a little farther down here, so I have to project my voice more. I'm usually more soft-spoken, probably because there's a sense that what I have to say is not important. So let's keep it down a little bit.
So what I hear you saying is you're seeing all the beliefs that would keep you from speaking.
Yes. Yes.
What you have to say is important. You're going to be judged.
Yes. And what you said about cue process helped me get my hands up, I think. Let's just do it and see what happens. If I get picked on, okay. If I don't, okay.
Yep.
So about almost half the times I come here, something happens or there's some kind of condition where I'm ready to bolt for the gate. Mm-hmm. And the first time it happened, I actually did leave early. The second time it happened, or the third time it happened, I got through it. I talked about it in here. I stayed. I'm glad I stayed. It's good. So something happened yesterday that was just infuriating to somebody inside me. And that's it. I'm going. I'm sneaking out. I'm leaving now. And I stayed with my breath. I had a hard time sleeping because of it. I actually, it moved into my head and I had a migraine headache, so it took me a long time to fall asleep. Did not sleep well. Saved my breath. Woke up feeling a little better. Migraine was gone. First thing I wanted to do was get to the recorder. And, because I needed to talk about this with somebody. And, someone who was kind. And so I got it all out. And the mentor was so kind to me. And even proud of me for the bravery that I keep coming back to this place. This place.
Yep.
And I had a funny moment where I feel like all this this suffering, this torture that comes up, I feel like that's part of the reason this place was built. Was to allow it to come up.
Yep.
And to...
to allow it to come up in a place where that is incredibly rare, which allows us to do exactly the movement that you're describing, which is for all of it to come up exactly as it does in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, all the sensations, all the meaning, all the beliefs, all the conversation, I'm out of here, there's the coping, you know, all the things. And to the invitation to stay with it. As you say, it's not a requirement, right? But the invitation to stay with it. And you did it. You chose it. And no one's interfering, right? No one's going to take care of it for you. No one's going to interact with you around it. No one's going to... It's just you looking at it, being still with it. And then, because you've been practicing and you record and listen, it drops in. I want to check in with someone who's kind. There's that guidance that we were talking about with Judy. The guidance drops in. You reach for the recorder. There's the kindness. The kindness to be able to move right through it. Not do all those things we would normally do, try to get away from it or fight against it or all those habitual things, but to actually allow us to be with it in that compassion.
I'm also grateful that the gate is always open for me to come back. Mm-hmm. Even though the torment is going on in here, but I can always come back.
Yeah.
And I think at this point I always will. I've gone too far. I've seen too much.
Yeah.
and it's the most important thing in my life.
Yes.
And
boy, what a great, if you haven't already done it, Tom, what a great recording that would be to make, right? Because we're not always in touch with us. We don't always remember how important it is to us. But it is. It's always important. It's always important. It's like we were just looking at with Pam. It's always there. I remember from very, very early on in practice for me, that was one of the biggest realizations I had was, wow, center is always there. It doesn't go anywhere. I go do all kinds of things, but it's always there. And I think that's what you're describing. And you've realized how important it is, and that it's the centerpiece of, it's the foundation of your life. And as we record about that, and as we listen, you know, to that, as we listen to those recordings, that grows for us. That I don't want to leave here. I want to stay here.
And that's what the mentor told me. Whatever happens here, in my experience, let's walk through it together.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be with it.
Yeah, let's be with it.
And I'll be with you.
You're not alone. Yeah. I'll be with you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. So this side of the room. It's also been a few years since I've been here.
It's also been a few years since you've been here. I'm going to project a little bit because the waterfall brings in the outdoor sound.
So I created space in my life and got all the little stuff done, cleared it up, and then trained out to Oregon. And I got to the Pleasanton Burn Station early, and it was a Giants game. It must have been playing the Dodgers because they were. Lots of Jones t-shirts and a few Dodgers ones.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking down outside the station and there was a crumpled up dollar on the sidewalk. And there was crowds. There was a woman coming up to me. And I just reached down and picked it up and handed it to her and I said, "This is your lucky dollar."
Uh-huh.
And she sort of, you know, had that funny look of, you know, what's going on here? And said, "No, you keep it." And I said, "No. If I don't give it away, it's not lucky." And she just smiled and chuckled a bit. And I have no idea why any of that happened.
You have no idea?
Why any of that happened.
Why any of that happened.
But the feeling that I had there was very light, very, very, very open, very fun, very unlike.
Very open, very fun, very...
Unlike me.
Unlike
you. And then, in group class then, there was the question of, you know, what's going on inside you? And what was going on inside me, and a big reason I didn't volunteer to talk was utter and total terror of doing something wrong here and being thrown out. And we talked about that, and I just stayed with it. And it was, you know, I'm still sort of in shock at the incredible range of emotion between what happened at the BART station and what I was feeling here last night. Because both were widely outside my everyday experience.
Both sides of that.
Both sides of that.
Were widely outside of your usual experience.
And I'm just sort of saying wow about both sides of that.
And it sounds like with that experience last night, if I understood you correctly, that somewhat like Tom was talking about, there was a just being with it.
There was a just being with it, and I went into shock of being that scared. Of being that terrified of having to leave. And that opened up what's still going on. Let's just be with somebody who's that scary.
And there's that very simple and profound definition of compassion, right? Being, just being with.
Yeah. Because for that person, that terror is very real.
Yes.
And it's almost literally heartbreaking.
It's almost literally heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking to be with somebody, to see somebody that scary. So yeah, I guess it is compassion in a funny way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So to be able to be with someone who is in that level of terror feels like it breaks the heart open, you could say.
Mm-hmm. How sad it is that somebody is there. And what can I do to help other than be with be with that person?
Yeah. And does it feel like, Mike, that in that movement of being with, and I would project really, really seeing him, that in a sense you were doing something for him?
Yeah. Yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
Just the being with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think often, at least in my experience, conditioning would like to make it very difficult and complicated. That level of, in this case, fear, would be something that, gosh, we're going to have to really work on and get to the bottom of, and right? And yet, right, it's just that seeing it and being with it.
Yeah, there's nothing that has to be done.
Right. There's nothing that has to be done.
Well, I didn't talk initially because I didn't hear what you said. I heard your voice, but I didn't hear the invitation.
Uh-huh.
And then that just brought up all the things that have been going wrong, wrong in quotes.
The mirrors that have been put up for
me. That's right. Uh-huh. Taking too much food, too much time in the bathroom. Staging when you're in a hermitage takes longer than when you're coming from the dorm. Mm-hmm. And there have been just a lot of other things like that. Mm. That have, and walking in here, seeing Ruth on the schedule, not connecting that this is our first meeting, so there would be meditation, so I didn't have a daily recollection. I mean, just all that stuff. And,
just one quick thing, if I can interrupt, because I feel like you're making an important point, that, you know, you frame it as all these things that are going wrong, right? And yet, it's only happening in here. Right? It's not like the timer buzzer went off in the bathroom. Right? I mean, it's only in here that anything's pointing out what's quote wrong.
Yeah, and yeah. There were things like the breakfast this morning. I can't throw this food out without somebody seeing it. Mm-hmm. I just have to do it. And there's that, just do it. And get it over with, like rip off the band-aid.
Right.
And in some ways that feels like life, but there's also like a belligerence in it or something.
Not quite the same being with that we've been
describing. Yeah. Exactly, right. And still there have been experiences though, and this is the big one that happened. Today there have been experiences of being with. So being back in my hermitage and recording and that fifth chakra just tightening up and choking me and seeing, continuing to talk through it and talking myself through that and seeing that it's pain, it's pain, but it can't hurt me. But in the sense of what we were talking about last night, that awareness that whatever it is that this all...
That which animates the conversation.
Yeah, that is still... That's untouched by it.
Yes. Yeah.
And, and what a relief that was. And then the question came up was, so is awareness isn't personal. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you saw as you were looking at all of that. You have the realization, awareness isn't personal.
Right, because if it can't hurt me, then it's not me.
It's not me, right.
Mm-hmm. And then I started wondering about attention. Is attention personal?
Mm-hmm. And what do you see?
I see something connected to willingness.
Mm-hmm. That it feels like when you look at attention, there's something connected to willingness in that.
Right, because we talk about directing the attention. Uh-huh. And so, I kind of get lost at that point.
Okay. Yeah. Well, given that this is a week of koan, that'll be fun. And you're describing the process of koan so beautifully, really. Right? That these questions arise. One of the things we talked about last night is that often when we're in group or we're listening to a radio show or that sort of thing, something will resonate, but the first thing we're aware of is, I'm not sure what that, and there is life giving us a koan. And then we just practice with it, as you've been describing. And you've had several awarenesses as you've been practicing with it, and these things drop in, and then the next piece drops in to look at. And then we start just holding that as the question and seeing what arises there. And that piece that seems so significant that you pointed at, that in that realization that it can't hurt me, kind of you were looking at the fifth chakra and there's pain there, but that if I'm with it in the way we've been looking at this morning, it can't do anything to me, right? That self-hate we develop, that voice in the head that tries to get me into a conversation, that's all it can do is get my attention engaged with it. But it can't actually hurt me. And what, I think you used the word relief. Wow. If it can't hurt me.
Yeah, then what is it? Mm-hmm. because in some ways pain is like to call attention to something, but then there's other pain that is just made up. Because that's what it was. It was just made up. There was nothing. All I was doing was talking about what was going on.
There's nothing. There's no one grabbing my throat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another big clue, right? There are places where pain calls attention to something. You know, I start moving my hand toward the hot burner, don't realize it. The pain has me pull my hand straight away. But then there's other quote pains that happens in a conversation.
Yeah. So I'm just so thrilled to have this time. It's just already.
Yeah.
It's not even been a day.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah.
That's
great. Thank you, Mira. Thanks,
Mom. Last night I brought up the notion I was struggling with about the courage to be tender. Mm. And as I was walking around this morning, it occurred to me that I'd really projected onto tenderness like the form of a young child, like a needy young child. Mm. Mm. And what came to me was that the tenderness doesn't require anything from me. That it's there's tenderness, and it's a certain way on a certain day at a certain time, and really doesn't need anything from me. So it went all the way from, it's going to take tremendous courage and arsenal of
weapons. Just bunker down and get ready for tenderness.
To just noticing that it shows up the way it shows up as it shows up.
Wow.
And then there's, the drama that gets dissolved out of that was such a relief. I realize there's so many things about my fear that are projected onto a young child, a defenseless, innocent, small, vulnerable child that are only experiences. I start going through a list of other, qualities, vulnerability and fear and all these other things that require some hero to show up and save it, but they're just experiences.
They're just experiences.
Yeah.
They're not that all of this gets projected onto this little small person, that the idea of tenderness gets projected onto a little vulnerable person, and seeing they're just experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that tenderness can show up however it does, in any given moment, in any given situation.
Yeah, will show up.
Will show up.
And so there's that opportunity just to get more and more familiar with the one experiencing tenderness.
Yeah.
The actual one, not the projected one.
Yeah, not the idea, but the actual one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this went along with one of my commitments coming here this week was, I just have never gotten into the groove of recording and listening. Mm-hmm. I said, well, by God, just do it and see what happens. And so I spent a lot of time this morning doing that, and all the back and forth about who am I listening to, and how good is this, and am I doing this right? And but after a while, I started listening and going, wow, this guy's kind of interesting.
Is this something we're talking about?
But I think I let go of the idea that it's supposed to be so impactful and so strategic. Because there was highs and lows curiosity and wonder and arrogance and fear, and they just kept coming up.
So kind of parallel sounds like to what you were realizing about tenderness.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, that maybe that process that conditioning wants to do is to turn tenderness into something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it is, and it's this, and I've got to, in order to have it, I'm going to have to, it's kind of the same thing with reporting and listening, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then realizing, it just shows up, it's just there, and it's everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the equivalency of, at one point, I get some revelation that's so complex and isn't this great? And then I just heard a bee going, this, and that was equal.
Yeah.
Wow. That was wonderful too.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, so I'm trying to relax into
that presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminds me of one of my favorite experiences when I'd be somewhere kind of out in life with a guide, and there's, you know, there's some talking about something very, and then oh, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the thing, the bee that's there, mm-hmm. or the child that's adorable, or the whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They're conditioning would have us, this is really important, and that, you know, I don't have time for bees. I'm in the middle of a really important spiritual revelation here, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, here, that's the only revelation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only, there is no hierarchy of what's important and what's not important. It's just here. It's mm-hmm. all right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if something shows up that is more important, it'll show up as more important.
That's right.
I don't have to be in control of that. Or
right. Yeah.
Be prepared for it.
Yeah.
That would be the thing about the tenderness. There has to be preparation. You have to be, you have to know what you need to know and be strong enough, be centered enough in order to deal with it. Maybe not.
No, maybe not. Yeah.
That was the other thing about recording and listening this morning. I had this whole thing. I just started seeing what if. Over and over and over, what if this was true? And what if I was this way? And what if?
Mm-hmm.
And without any resolution, any of it. But listening back to it, it was, like I said, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's so significant, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What if? What if? What if? With no needing any answers to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that process.
Yeah.
And then getting to listen back to that guy and really,
yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in answer to the question that Sherry raised, I'm aware that when I come to group and there's a retreat, I'm not particularly aware of it, but there's a rule that I shouldn't speak because I get to talk all the time.
Can you folks there at the end? There's a rule, so when you come on retreat and you're not actually in the retreat, the rule is you can't talk.
Well, I have to wait. Anyway.
Or to wait.
Because I get to talk all the time.
Because you get to talk all the time.
So, and I wasn't aware of the rule until she raised that, so that was helpful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So unspoken.
Right.
That we're sort of that leash that Boya was talking about.
Right. And something came up, actually, that arose, which was yesterday. I had this lovely experience of being in another city, and there's this beautiful arboretum. And with some friends, we walked the length of this arboretum, which is what was fun was it went right through this town, but the arboretum was like this sanctuary, you know, mm-hmm. trees and amazing plantings, and mm-hmm. it ran along a stream,
mm-hmm.
and it was a round trip of 3 miles,
mm-hmm.
and it was
that's a commitment.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's for the walkers, but in other words, like having a place that's 3 miles long where all of it is protected. And
well, that's what arose for me was, you know, I said, how long have they been working on this?
Mm-hmm.
And they said probably 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, isn't that fabulous that somebody had that picture?
Yeah.
Somebody had that vision.
Yeah.
And over time, they just kept at it and kept at it. And and then, and I, you know, what arose from was, without this commitment, this stream would probably be this kind of sorry little trickle full of trash.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last couple of years, they have built these cement walls just to let it widen out and then go in and widen out. So it's gently going downhill all the time with these little tiny waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's full of wild birds, ducks and, you know, and wildfowl. And it just felt like that happens. What it reminded me of is this place and practice, that there's this kind of central commitment that just arises at some point, and it it may take years to unfold, but it's always unfolding around that central vision.
Uh-huh.
And it just gets better and better and better, and more is invited in.
And
so that it was just a wonderful experience.
Yes.
And
there's something about it, Penny, that and then it's not it so illustrates that it's not personal.
Because it went through generations.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That it's the vision is life living through this person this time, and this life is a really good example of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the people who did the walls and packed down their rammed earth and did the tile on the roof and did the tile on the porch and made the windows and the...
Yeah. Which makes it even more powerful than if somebody did it, you know?
Right. I'm going to do it and I'm going to start it and I'm going to take it through and it's going to be my vision and I'm going to finish it. And
so it really belongs to the community.
Yeah.
And so that I was it was a very lovely experience. And at one point, the person I was talking to happens to be a questioning Catholic, and has been questioning for some time. And she was talking about she was brought up in a pretty strict tradition, and then this could be true of any tradition. So, but she happened to be brought up in this tradition, and so did her husband, and they got into some classes that were questioning that tradition. And her husband, she said, she remembers he looked at her one time and said, "If we start going down this path of questioning, Where are we going to go? Where are we going to lead?" The fear that arose. Mm-hmm. And what arose for me was, I know that fear, because I've been in that tradition, but I also thought, the great thing about Zen is, all that is an interesting question.
Yeah.
All you have to bring in that is curiosity.
Yeah.
Wow, where is this? If we keep going down this road, where will we end up?
What if?
Well, yeah. Right.
And we don't ever have to answer it.
And all the fear doesn't need to be there at all.
Yeah.
And I just thought, boy, what a gift. I mean, it felt like that moment is such a gift of practice.
It really is. And boy, it so underlines the teaching that the process is the outcome, right?
Yes.
It's the whole thing is the process. The whole thing. We're not getting anywhere. We're not going to arrive somewhere.
And we, I remember the first time I heard Cherry say, "Believe nothing, take nothing personally, and pay attention to everything." And I felt, well, that's so, it sounded nihilistic.
Mm.
You know, it sounded like, it sounded negative.
Mm.
And now, it was just one of those moments of getting how incredibly freeing that is. Because anything's possible, and then don't be afraid of anything.
Yes.
And hardly any tradition allows one to feel that way. So it was a great day of enjoying friends and enjoying a beautiful place and also just having these moments of just seeing how amazing practice is.
Yeah. And again, when we see things like that, how applicable it is to our entire life.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. One of the things that was dropping as you were talking was I was recently in a beautiful Catholic cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at the, well, when was it built? Well, 1543 to 1670.
Right.
Wow.
That was not just one very.
And all the different.
Yes. All that went into that. All those people, all those years of commitment. Yeah.
You know, and imagine starting it.
Yeah.
Knowing darn well probably never going to fit in that church.
Yeah.
And worship there. So that's not the point.
Yeah. Well, at whatever point it is, you sit in that church and worship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah. That is the worship.
That is the worship.
The laying the bricks and the.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was feeling very confused actually. This morning, lots of energy and it's all very exciting. And then during the sit, sort of sleep descended on me, and I sort of spun around and it's like always waking up again in the morning. I've sort of forgotten. It's like, oh, where am I? And I've made loads of recordings this morning. So there's lots to see, and it sort of left me. But what I was noticing is that there was just so much to see. There's so much to take in.
Yeah.
And I was just doing the bowls and water and
you also had the meditation.
it's like it's a great teacher's bit. I remember did it before and really struggled with it. But just see there's so much to it. and you could write a book about it, couldn't you? There's so much so it's like I think there's the thing about enjoying washing the dishes, but it's kind of taking it on to another level there. But just seeing that there's so much to see and observe and just sort of take it all in, and it's all very very, very interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
All these, you couldn't take it. There's just, you could never see all it. Just work. All the, there's just so much to enjoy and observe and participate.
Yes. Yeah. To observe, enjoy, participate. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like all the different bird song, all the different leaves and the plants, and you know, all these different pots in the kitchen to take care of.
And all that's going on inside of here, and all of that's going on, and being registered, and the workshops around this and that. And
yes.
And no wonder it would want to, you are getting there. This is enough.
Yes, exactly. Just shut it all down.
Shut it all down. Yeah. And again, kind of that theme of the morning. And if that's just the next thing to notice, that's fine too. There's no problem with any of it.
So I mean, that was the thing, was to just, well, this is the experience I'm having now.
That's right.
And this is the experience I'm having now. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it wants to say, this is confusing. I think you started out with, it was a bit confusing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe it's just the next thing that's happening. I'm getting sleepy. Okay. Now I'm awake. I have all those recordings I made this morning that I can go listen to this afternoon.
Yeah, well, thank goodness I did make it, because otherwise, yes,
exactly,
it's the way forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Matt.
I've just been kind of like deliciously sitting in the inquiry from the very beginning with having not raising my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And also like just savoring all of the shares at the same time. It's just been lovely.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm noticing, I mean, I'm noticing everything. What that inquiry is also what has me not do all of the things that I would like to do in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm seeing it like, oh, this is a great opportunity for a process map. Because
yeah.
The voices that are coming up where I'm just raising my hands are the voices that are coming up all over my life, in relationship and in career and all of the things I want to create and be in the world.
Uh-huh.
The same voices are coming up.
Wow.
You know, for me, it's like there's like the warning of like you're going to get beat for whatever you do by me.
By me, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's that, like, well, I can just avoid that altogether if I don't do anything.
Yeah. And what's your experience of that?
I don't get the life I want.
That's right.
Yeah. And of course, then there's beatings.
Oh, yeah. You're wasting your whole life.
And it's like, well, if I'm going to be beaten anyways, I might as well go for it.
Amen. Right? Because that's that really powerful image that we use of you go from being the hunted to the hunter.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different experience. Because in the one, like, okay, I won't do it. We're the hunted. And it's that blackmail. It's always got us. It's got us on that short leash that Sequoia was talking about. But as soon as we get it, there is no sleeping that voice. There's no way I'm getting out of this blackmail situation. There's no way it's going to voluntarily choose to stop beating me. It has to. That's where its life force comes from. Then we say, all right, bring it on. Let me see how it happens. And then we've completely shifted the relationship.
So you might see me raising my hand.
Excellent. Because of the workshop. Right? Because we have to do the thing in order to see it. And that's the movement. That's the place that really sets us on the track to freedom. Where instead of trying to avoid it, we're actually doing the thing that will trigger it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see that if I can just bring enough awareness to it, then the compassion can be there.
Exactly.
And then I'm fine.
Exactly.
You know, whatever is going on with the voices.
Yes.
It's when the awareness and the consciousness isn't there that it's suffering that seems unbearable.
That's right. That's exactly what was dropping in for me too, Matt. That really, especially with Mike and Tom, I think this morning, looking at that place, that when we make that shift and decide we are going to sit still with it. We are going to go straight through it. We are going to stay here, not kind of that avoiding process. That is where the compassion is. And you articulated it perfectly in what you started us out with. The only thing we're afraid of is this hateful voice in our head. That's the only thing we're actually afraid of. Nero is pointing at it too. It can't actually do anything to me. It can't strangle me. It can't actually physically beat me. It can't do that. So when we have that courage to just stay here and to do the thing that will trigger it, to not be its prey, that is where the compassion is. The compassion arises with that. You know, that tenderness, I think, that we were looking at too. It's there. It's just there. It arises. Thank you all. Thank you.